Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hello, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Rebecca Massoud, your host for Savvy, Soulful, and Successful, and this is a show for and about visionary women entrepreneurs who are here to speak their true message, shine their light in business, and amplify their income and impact for the benefit of all. Today, we have a wonderful guest and leading lady, and I want to welcome Mickey Jo Resto to our show. Welcome, Mickey Jo.
Thank you. I've never been called a leading lady before.
We like to roll a little bit differently around here. So let me share with our audience a little bit about you. So Mickey Jo, she's known as Coach MJ, is a seasoned executive coach, national board certified health coach, and a functional medicine certified health coach. And she is known for blending her expertise from more than 20 years in high-performance leadership coaching with the best science-based credentials in health and wellness coaching. MJ has developed her own trademark approach called GenSpire that guides leaders and entrepreneurs to transform stress, prevent chronic illness, and realize their dreams. So welcome, MJ, and we're going to be talking about creating remarkable well-being in a pandemic. MJ says, yes, it is possible. So love to have you here, MJ.
It's wonderful being here. I'm really honored that you asked me to do this, Rebecca.
What happened in your life that inspires you to wake up every day and do this work that you do in the world?
Well, there is so much that inspires me every day, but I'll just tell you just a bit about my early story, which is, and I think you know it, but I'll just share it again, is when I was a young adult, and just young means younger than I am now. I think I was, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s. I've shared the story quite a bit, so if anybody has heard any of my videos, they may have heard it, or any of my speaking. But my mother and father both passed within a very short time of each other, just a few years. But they were young. They were like 50s. My mother was in her mid-50s. My father was around 60. And I also had a best friend that passed, and they all passed of heart disease and cancer. But what inspires me even more is the journey that I went through during that time. I really, I hit a bottom. And at that time, I couldn't get myself to do anything. And it wasn't just, you know, processing that grief. There was a lot going on for me then, and I hit a bottom, and I actually quit my job, which was the best position, and it was a great position that I had ever had at that time in my life. And I didn't want to quit the job. And I just told myself, I can never be here again. I realized I needed tools. I needed health. I needed a whole lot in my life, and that set me on this journey. And along that journey, what I realized, and I realize every day more and more, is in our everyday life, what we're doing, not just with our family, but what we're doing at work, you know, no matter what our job or position is, and how our life comes together, that nothing is separate, and that my healing and my health on all levels is the foundational piece that gives me my self-empowerment to do everything I want in life. So that's what brought me to that combination.
It's all connected, is what I hear and what you're sharing. And that your health, you often say health is a resource. Would you share with our listeners tell us more about what that means and what does that look like in our everyday lives?
Yes, thank you. And I actually love saying that. And sometimes I think it sounds a little too practical when I say it to some people because it doesn't necessarily sound sexy. But I think it's like a deep truth that our health is a resource. And I'll just talk about me, that I found out that my health is a resource, not only because I saw so many of my loved ones pass over because of things like heart disease and cancer, but because in my journey, I realized that I needed a paradigm shift about health, that health, you know, on one level, on the kind of the basic level, yeah, it's a number or a measurement of my blood sugar and my blood pressure and all those things, but those are just indicators. And the paradigm shift for me came when I realized that I wanted a new definition of health and well-being, and that health is not only that destination, but even more so, it's an ongoing relationship with yourself. You know, when I say that, I mean because the way our internal dialogue, how we view life, our stories, it all comes through this integrated self of our mind, body, brain, the way our brain is functioning, and our spirit, and that life force that we have. And that colors everything. And so that's why I say health is an ongoing relationship with yourself. And when you have access to deeper levels of your personal strength and well-being, which I discovered along my journey, that whenever I get healthier in mind, healthier in body, I get deeper levels of access to all that makes me strong mentally and physically, and that gives me a whole lot more joy in life than many other things I could be experiencing.
Absolutely. So can you give me some examples? Because our listeners are our leaders, they're entrepreneurs. These are the kinds of people that you serve in your business. And what does this look like? I just would love for you to break it down in kind of a day-to-day. Like how would this show up when you talk about health not being a destination, which I love, it's an ongoing relationship with yourself. What are some very kind of practical nitty-gritty things of how this would show up?
Yeah, I love that question because it is actually very practical. And so I can just share a couple of really brief examples, I guess, with my clients. So it can show up in mood. I have not one, but several clients that had no idea that food, for example, how much food connected with their body chemistry contributes to determine their body chemistry and how much their mood and their outlook on life was affected. So, for example, I've had a client that was all he was trying to do was, I mean, we had many things he was working on, but on the food part, he said, I am literally addicted to Diet Coke, and I need to get off of this stuff. He knew that he had a dependency on Diet Coke, which we think, well, why is that bad? There's no quote-unquote sugar in that, but it does affect his body. And I'll just say after we worked on that and he was able to get off of Diet Coke, he had a whole sense of new freedom, not only because he wasn't drinking Diet Coke, but because of that, what he felt was his own dependency on that. And because of that, he actually increased his confidence in all kinds of ways around his work. It's so interesting how that connected. Another person, hers was actually sugar. She's a vegan. Not many of us are vegans, but she thought she was doing really, really well because she is a vegan. And then for her, it was about sugar. And her life really changed when her chemistry changed. And she decided to put away, you know, a lot of the sugar. So that's one way, mood. Another way is physical. I had somebody, a dear client that I've worked with for a while, who was growing her business but had a lot of back problems and ended up having to choose if she was going to have surgery or not. And within that, she had a lot of chronic pain that she was dealing with. And so we work in tandem, hand in hand, about how that pain affects not only how much energy she has to put into her work, but how it actually affects her decisions, how it affects her rhythms. And she learned that there was so much more that she could do, not just to manage that chronic pain, but to actually be able to change it, to shift it, to transform it, and let it go. And today she's pain-free. So those are some very practical examples of how health and our daily life collide. And then there's kind of another example, which is really just about our relationship, about every day, no matter where we are, wanting more energy, working towards feeling even better. And that's when we go from, you know, just managing and transforming pain to actually realizing that health can be part of our self-actualization. Did that last part make sense? Did I say that in a way that
it makes sense? I'm fascinated by that comment. That say more about that. How does it lead to our self-actualization?
Well, this journey of well-being, and what I like to call remarkable well-being. I first started discovering that my clients, when I started combining these different types of coaching approaches, from transformational coaching and executive level business coaching and the health, this functional health and well-being coaching, that people were not only making giant strides very quickly, I mean, so quickly that it was almost surprising to me at the time when I started doing it this way. Well, I'll just flat out say it was surprising to me when I started doing it this way. But also that the levels that they were hitting, like that they would reach their aspirations, things that they just thought were aspirational goals. You know, we have our real goals, we have our milestone goals, and then we have those aspirations that keep us going. Well, they were hitting their aspirational goals pretty quickly. And then they're like, oh, I did that. What can I do next? And then they had to come up with another aspirational goal if that's what they wanted to do. But part of that was because of the internal journey that we go through when we're seeking to not just improve our mental capacity or the way we think about things, but that we want to grow and expand and improve our level of well-being on all these different levels, which we'll talk about in a minute. And so with that comes this, you know, self-realization. And at some point, that well-being gets to be so remarkably high that we're really reaching levels of self-actualization. It's fascinating to me because I geek out on that stuff, but I love it.
Yeah, well, you have such a unique way you work with people, because it's not just focused on one, like helping you grow your business. It sounds like it's this 360 of looking at every aspect of their life, because it is all connected. So I'm really, I've known you for a few years now, and I'm really, I think, understanding at an even deeper level in listening to you how you truly work with your clients and this full-on 360 transformation that you help them with. So one of the things that I'm so fascinated with, MJ, is you talk a lot about personal strengths, and you mentioned this earlier. So I know you've been sharing about the physical and how you help your clients on the very physical level with food and managing pain and energy. And you also have this particular way you work with your clients and helping them identify their personal strengths. Can you share more with our audience about that?
Yes. Thanks for asking about that, because, you know, I talk about the physical aspects because when we talk about practical, I want to give people an idea of real results that come through it. And some of the people that I work with, you know, may be dealing with a lot health-wise. And sometimes clients come to me and they don't think they have anything to deal with health-wise. And when we get going, they realize, oh, this thing over here has been holding me back, or, you know, various things that do go in the bucket of maybe more well-being. And then they realize that does affect their health. So I have a very personalized approach. And one of the first things I do is I give my clients a few different types of assessments, not all at once, because that's too much to do all at once, but over the first couple of months. Because, you know, a lot of people, especially when you're in business, think you know what your strengths are, and maybe you've taken an assessment or two or a few. But I've been in learning and development and leadership development for many years now, and so I've worked with a whole bunch of assessments. And what I've learned that people don't necessarily tell you in the assessment industry are there are three kind of strengths. There's who you are inside. So the positive psychology, which is a very credible type of psychology within the psychology industry, positive psychology talks about character strengths. So that's what they term it, who we are inside. And those are our internal resources that help us make change, help us do anything that we want. So those things can be like bravery, kindness, leadership, those types of strengths. Then we have the kind of strengths that are more about not just what motivates you, but what really inspires you. And that's more of a motivational kind of, I don't like this word necessarily, but profile, because what that does is it not only tells us, okay, what motivates us so that we can have a language around it, but even more in the way I use it, it's what inspires you. Where are you in life? What space are you occupying? What are you doing every day that inspires you, that helps you gain energy? Because when we gain energy, that's healthy energy. We're gaining health. We're gaining well-being. When we're trying to do too much and too long of the things that don't motivate and inspire us, over time, that really starts draining our energy. Like think of a bathtub, and the drain is popped up a little bit, and it's a slow drain, and then all of a sudden, we don't have any energy. Now, that's depleting not only mentally and sometimes emotionally, but it's depleting all the way to our cellular health. And epigenetics shows us this. This is science. And then the third kind of strength that I work with is, okay, what do you do with what you've got? So those are your talents. What do you do? How do you execute? How do you strategize? How do you influence people? Like, what are your strengths? Because once we have and understand ourselves in that kind of 360 way of our strengths, who we are, what motivates and inspires us, and then what do I do with what I've got, now we have a real map to ourselves and all kinds of ways and tools to get ourselves where we want to go with a whole lot less resistance and pain.
I love that, a map to ourselves. Wow, I think that's something we could all benefit. Sometimes yeah, just having, you know, there's just, sometimes it seems like there's, we have these blind spots, and having a map, I mean, I know for myself, I definitely have my blind spots, and I want to know more. I want to know all the facets of me. And I think that what you're saying is these assessments and tools with your guidance really help bring out someone's strengths, and then they can remember and rely upon them when they're in a challenging situation.
Yes, and in this,
such as,
so it's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, such as this pandemic we're in, which were this,
yes,
these unprecedented times.
Yeah, very unprecedented in our lifetime. So would you like me to share maybe kind of a way to, you know, you don't need to wait till you take an assessment, but, you know, you, everybody listening to this call has self-awareness, and they know what, you know, some or a number of their strengths are. The way that I teach using strengths is not just about your business and how you do lead and how you make business, but I actually teach these strengths and how to use them in well-being. But you don't have to wait to take the assessment. You can take those, what you know about yourself, and start building remarkable well-being now. And I have a kind of like 5 key bullet points that people can take away today, if you'd like me to share those.
Oh, please do. Yes. And I know we want to get to how our listeners can reach you. So please, please do share those.
Okay. Well, this won't take that long. But they come out of, again, positive psychology, and they're actually a cornerstone of what positive psychology teaches. So in times like today, in this, you know, we're calling it unprecedented, you know, that we say words and phrases like that as we're trying to describe it. But it's an emotional time for a lot of people, and not necessarily, you know, if we are not touched by the pandemic directly, it's still an emotional time. There's so much going on in the background. So there's so much going on in our world. So we're either touched by it directly or indirectly, and either way, that stability, that part of ourselves that we know that's stable inside our mental and emotional and maybe even spiritual person that hasn't felt this way before, right? No matter whatever it's feeling, there's a good chance that it's feeling thing that we're feeling things that we haven't felt before, and because of that, we can be feeling really like going up and down in how, in our mood and how we feel every day, our not just emotion, but our physical level of energy, our mental clarity and focus. And that can make us feel like we're going in and out of our everyday motivation, our, you know, what we usually achieve. So the number one thing is to not expect ourselves to be in the same rhythm, to be having the same level of energy, or to even be thinking the same thoughts that we were, if we can remember what we were thinking in January of this year, right? So releasing old expectations of ourselves. So if we release
that.
Something, when we release something, the next thing that we need to do is actually fill ourselves with something else. Because releasing is half of it, but then it's like, okay, now what do I do to come back to a sense of not just well-being, but that anchor inside of us, that center. And so here they are. The first one is positive emotion. To use your strength. To not just think positively. I was like, oh, I'm going to reframe that. I'm going to say it in a positive way. That's a mental exercise, but what we want to do is come into an alignment of authenticity and really try and connect with how can I feel positive about this one thing or about something about that one thing? Can I look for the positive? So it's kind of like looking for the silver lining, except it's a little bit more because we're looking to what we can actually connect a feeling to, a positive feeling. So the positive feeling is more important today than the positive thought. The second one is engagement, just trying to have feeling more engaged with what we're doing. The third one is relationships. You know, connecting, and I think people are really looking at this right now. This is nothing new, to connect with people who help us feel positive. So connected relationships in work and out of work.
In work and out of work. Yeah, you said in relationships within our work and also in our personal family lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. What's number four?
I think that's really important. So meaning. Now, meaning at this point when we're all going through a lot of unknown things, things that are ambiguous, we don't know what the future holds, during that time we need personal meaning. So the why of what you want from life that day. And it's we're not talking about grand meaning, like big expansive meaning, like, oh, I'm going to go achieve my whole mission in life. Maybe you are, but the real key of that is it's personal to you. Or that, you know what, I'm going to spend time with my cat today. And I have a client who says that. She loves her cat. I love furry family. And she gets the greatest joy out of now she's working from home. being able to spend a certain amount of time with her furry family, and that brings her personal meaning and a personal place in her day. And it doesn't matter whether it's something big or it's something very personal and immediate right there. That personal meaning is really important. And then the last part with that is achievement, and that doesn't mean money. In this case, it doesn't mean money or titles or the big goals. It means how can we feel, what can I do today to feel some satisfaction? Whether it's a big thing, I organized all my closets today. We all know that's a big thing.
That is a good one.
Or I organized my calendar today. So those are achievements, you know, or I got this thing out of the way that's been, you know, the daily achievements that just bring us some satisfaction is really important today. When you put all those together, it's interesting. What we're doing is we're controlling what we can control in our world, and your feeling of well-being can really shoot up no matter what's going on out there beyond us.
Oh, I love this. Yeah, so controlling what we can, because there's so much that we can't control in our lives. And these are just some very simple, would you say these are five keys to really creating that remarkable well-being?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. MJ, in case our listeners want to reach you after our show, how would you like them to contact you?
Well, I would love to offer them a free gift. I have what's called the 4 steps to create your breakthrough, and it's just you using your strengths that you know about. You don't have to take an assessment or anything, and it's free, and you can just go to my website. It's imagineyourhealth.org. So just like it sounds, imagineyourhealth.org, the first thing you'll see is your gift. And if you want to contact me, you can just go to my contact us page.
Beautiful. Well, I love that gift. I've used that before personally, so I do highly recommend it. And it's imagineyourhealth.org. And if you didn't quite catch those contact details, we will have MJ's info listed in our show notes. So last question before we sign off for today, what is your word for 2020? And why did you choose that word?
Oh, gosh. Gold comes to mind, the word gold, because I believe in every situation and every circumstance, there is gold to be found.
That is it. Absolutely. I believe that. Beautiful, MJ. Well, this has been a golden show being with you today. And I know it goes fast. Just want to really appreciate you for joining us and sharing these five keys to creating remarkable well-being in these unprecedented times. So thank you so much for being our fabulous leading lady guest today.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
And I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners, both here in the U.S. and all around the world. We will be back for another Women Lead radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. It's been my joy to be your host today. Thank you so much for listening to Savvy, Soulful, and Successful. I'll leave you with these parting words from the late great poet Mary Oliver. You too have come into this world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. I'm Rebecca Masood. Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye for now.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.